I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro here for Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. So what can I talk about today? What comes to mind? Well, I tell you, there's a lot of things that come to mind, and I am extremely annoyed by most of it. You know, one of the things, and I'm trying to come up with a theme for you on this, is when do we get to strike back? And by strike back, I don't mean violence for all you people sitting in your basements trying to record something I say. When I say strike back, when do people on the conservative side, the America-loving side, the God-loving side, when do we get to have our concerns focused on? You know, right now we seem to see just this complete opposite end of anything that a conservative person or a God-fearing person or a small government person, a conservative, anything that we think about is immediately abandoned, called bad. It's bad. It's horrible. Can't talk about it. You're a hater if you want that. So striking back, I'm saying we know we can't count on our politicians, or very, very few of them. You know, I saw the other day there was this vote for this January 6th investigation. You know, this they're calling it the insurrection, when you had a bunch of idiots go into the house when they shouldn't have. And they were trespassers. They should have been locked up. You don't go in there. I know you're not allowed to go in there. You don't break windows and climb through. But the reality is, it was not an insurrection, but they're calling it that. And where are our Republican people jumping up and down and taking back the language, right? Where are they redefining what that was? So here we have this vote, and thank goodness the Senate did the right thing and filibustered and blocked it, because no matter what they're saying, our friends on the left are all saying, well, the Republicans obviously don't want to get to the truth about the insurrection. No, it's not about that at all. It's not about giving the people on the left another forum to bash the hell out of America and everything else that anyone conservative stands for. So I will give them that little golf clap. All right, that they stood up. But who didn't? I think six Republicans voted with them. And it's the regular cast of characters that we can always count on. Mitt Romney, what a disappointment this guy has turned out to be. The woman from Maine. All right, so you got six of these people. Ben Sasse, that voted to go with this commission thing. And it's not that I'm against an investigation to figure out actually what happened, because there's a lot of questions here. Number one, was it really an insurrection? Were they going to take over the government if they got in there? Would they become the president? Would they be able to claim a coup d'etat and dictate what the military did? If these idiots with these bull hats and all these other nonsense, if they got in, they could have taken over the government, right? Would they have been able to be in a position to restrict your rights in Oklahoma because they took over the Capitol building? Would they be in? Could they call in an airstrike on Cuba? Would they be allowed to do that if they simply took that building? No. It's absolutely ridiculous. And this is what I'm talking about. There is so much in our country that has reached now a level of absurdity that it's hard to even keep in mind what's going on here. I mean, we get no truth about anything, and we get lies about everything else. And there's no fight back. There is no fight back. You know, I hear these politicians, like the six Republicans who voted for this investigation. And let me finish my thought on that. See, I'm getting myself all wound up here. So, you know, do I want an investigation? Yes, there's a lot to look at there. What exactly caused it? Were there signals given by the people who run the House, our friends, our Democrat friends, who did they pull the police back? Did they allow people in? I saw police officers there, and they were walking along, and people were going in the building, and the cops were right there. Were they ordered to do that, to let people in, to make a point? Was this a orchestrated kind of a thing? I'd like to know that answer, right? I'd like to know exactly what brought this on. So I'm not against an investigation. What I'm against is using the premise of an investigation as a political tool, because it's going to be that. It's going to be all nonsense. You're going to see, you know, they're going to invite people up to testify that are going to say, it's because of Trump, because Trump made me want to go there and do it. He wanted me to take over the government. I wanted to be the Secretary of State, and I was going to be it if I took over the building. You're going to get a myriad of idiots and fools and useful tools that are going to go up there and just make these stupid comments that the media is going to run with. If they were to do a real investigation, I would not be opposed to it. You know, wherever there was wrongdoing there, those people should be held accountable. That's crystal clear, right? And how many times have I said this? I know that when I go to the Capitol, that's a place where people work. These are politicians who could be under threat. Absolutely. I mean, presidents can be under threat. That's why they have Secret Service. We have to protect our political leaders because there are nuts that will hurt them. So I know when I go there for a visit, I can only go on the tour. I can only go where they take me. I can't decide I'm going to go see Pelosi right now and walk into her office. I know that. And if I did go past a security area, if I did push past it, if I broke a window and went in, I would be in the wrong and I would be arrested and it would be the correct thing to do. You know, that's what should happen when you violate the rules. But what they're doing here is they're playing a game with us and they're going to use this as a tool to just continue to hammer at us. And that's what I'm asking. Why is there's no strike back by our people? You got these idiots like this Romney and Murkowski and all these other idiots that just go along with these people. So along those lines, this is the frustration I hear. Now, this Cheney woman. Now, her father, Dick Cheney, I thought he was a pretty good guy. But I got to tell you, the honesty, I was probably lost in finding the best of the swamp and not realizing how swampy they all were, our Republican people. You know, I thought George Bush was a much better choice for president than the Democrats were running. I thought he was a better choice for that. And I thought he did a pretty good job at the beginning of the Gulf War. It got away from him. The media hammered him to death. And of course, he lost control of everything. But he did get his two terms in. But he was pounded away by the left-wing media. And I thought Dick Cheney was a good guy. I actually thought he was. His daughter is, when you listen to her speak, and she goes on and on, she will do everything in her power to make sure Trump gets nowhere near the White House ever again. See, here's the problem with all of people like that, all these never Trumpers. What they fail to understand, what they fail to get, and which I haven't heard anybody clearly tell them or say, is that the reason Trump was elected is because he wants to fight. We want people who are going to stand up and fight. And as strong as she believes that Donald Trump was bad for the country, and maybe she really does believe that, but the reality is, if these rhinos, I don't even know what to call these Republicans that are so anti-Trump, if they were to fight against the socialist policies of the left half as much as they fought against Donald Trump and the will of the people, we would be in a much better place as a country. But they have not done that. They attack Trump like it's their job. And when their real job is to go after all this left-wing nonsense that Joe Biden and Harris are doing. Do you hear anything from them? Do you hear them standing up on the steps of Congress railing against the $6 trillion budget and open borders and all this other damaging policy that's happening to our country? No, you don't hear a word. All you hear about constantly is never Trump again. Never Trump. Trump was ruined. Trump was dangerous. Trump was bad. And they don't get that the American people, the reason 74, 75 million people voted for him is because they want someone who's going to fight back, not against their own party. It's going to fight back against the ideas of the other party. That's what people are looking for. It is really that simple. And I don't hear, when I see these people on these shows and I see them railing and going on and on about, so like this Liz Cheney woman, I will do everything in my power to make sure Trump never gets anywhere near the White House again. How come she's not talking about what the current president is doing to our economy or doing to our military with this crazy training that they're making them do or opening our borders and letting people pour in here, right? How come Where is she on that? Why is that something she never talks about? That never seems to be so important to her. These are the kind of things that frustrate, I think, lots of people. And this is at the essence of those people who went to the Capitol. You know, I think they were there. I think they got caught up in the moment of it. It felt like, an important thing to do. You know, Jim the Contrarian, Giordano, him and I were talking the other day, you know, from the neighborhood. And Jim is saying, you know, on a recent gun permit, a friend of his was trying to get, you have to fill out this form. And you have to answer all these questions. Are you an alcoholic? Do you use illegal drugs? Do you have mental problems? And one of them on there says, have you ever been part of a group that want to plot the overthrow of the United States government? And that question is on there. Now, in a day gone by, you would think that what they were talking about was, are you a member of the Communist Party? Are you a member of some group that supports some negative ideology that would want to harm America, right? And every American, you think, would say, no, of course not. I don't want any part of a thing like that. I don't want to support the Communist Party. I'm not a socialist. I'm not a Soviet Union fan. That's what I always believed that they were asking. Jim's point, and I thought was pretty good, he goes, but now in this day and age, isn't our Constitution written? And didn't the Founding Fathers include the Second Amendment so that if there was an out-of-control government, the people could rise up and get rid of them, right? And protect our freedom and our liberty and our Constitution. Isn't that the whole idea of our Constitution? So now, when we look at it today and you answer that question, if somebody says that they believe in freedom and liberty and they don't want what's going on, they want to stop these people in office, and that if they go too far, they will fight back, suddenly that means you are an anti-United States government person and you should not have a right to the Second Amendment. You should not get that gun. Maybe you should be investigated and put in prison because of your crazy ideas about dealing with the government in a way that the Constitution is what tells us how to do that. Our forefathers, right? How many times do you hear that quote over and over with Ben Franklin when he came out of the Constitutional Convention? And the woman says, what kind of government we have? He says, a republic, if you can keep it, right? I saw one the other day, and I hope I don't get this wrong for my history friends out there. It was Thomas Jefferson who said that the increase in governmental power is inevitable, right? And you have to always be on the lookout for it. Isn't that really true? Look what we have today. Look at what the government does today to all of us, whether you're on the right or the left, it doesn't matter. How they control us, how they, this whole mask thing that we're going through, right? How they control what we can do, where we can go, who we can, all of this is unconstitutional. All of these governors coming up with all of these rules to tell you when and where you can't go, shut down business, locking up people who are trying to run their business and feed their family. Can you imagine what George Washington and the boys would have said had they seen that, if they could come back from the grave and see what we've just gone through for a year, and which isn't over yet. You know, we're seeing the mask mandates in many states, including here in New Jersey, it's now evaporated. And basically, the mandatory have to wear a mask everywhere is gone. And it's been replaced by, if you feel comfortable wearing a mask, you should wear a mask. If the store you're going to go into wants you to wear a mask, you should wear a mask. And that's what it should have been all along. You know, here's the health reasons to wear this stupid mask. And if it can help you, if you believe it can help you and you want to wear it, you should wear it. If you don't want to wear it, you don't have to wear it. Right? That's what it should have been all along. But we've finally just gotten to that point now. And what happens if we start to see a rise in COVID cases? People start to get sick because, like, overnight, we have seen concerts are back and people are in concerts. Everywhere I've gone for the last couple of days, you know, these big box stores where they're selling home improvement goods or whatever. You walk in and before there was everybody in a mask and now maybe two or three people are walking around with a mask. Everybody else is just doing their business. You know, you go out to a bar or a restaurant, a liquor store the other day I went to get some adult beverages and nobody in there had a mask on. Now, what happens when that COVID spike goes back up again? Right? Is that where they jump on us and midsummer say, you know what, we have to lock back down again because the COVID is going back up and you people got out of control and now we have to, you know, shut the school. You think that's a possibility? I think it's absolutely a possibility. And it's something that I'm watching very, very closely. But where are people to stand up for what we believe in? You know, how do you get into a topic that is controversial? And it doesn't matter where you stand on the topic. And I am sound like I'm beating around the bush because I am. There's a lot of controversial things going on right now where we are trying as a society to understand people's points of view, how they feel about themselves and the world around them. And we're trying to be accommodating to help them. Okay? I've said many times here, I don't care, you know, who somebody loves. I really don't. It's none of my business. They could love whoever they love. God bless them. There's better, more love in the world than less love in the world. But when we have like this young girl, I think she's in Connecticut. She's in high school and she's an athlete and she's a runner. I think she's runner or track and field. And she has lost out on like every major championship at her school has been won by a transgender young man who actually is now in the girl sports. Now, the whole idea of being accommodating is because we're trying to understand this young man's feelings. He feels he's not a young man. He feels he's a woman, and he therefore wants to live that way. Okay, good for him. I think if that's who he thinks he is, that's who he thinks he is. But when we ignore reality things like the fact that you may think you're a woman and believe you're a woman, and good for you, but your body is physically a male. And when you run in these races, you beat natural gender girls every single time. And we're saying that that's okay. And I had to ask the question, why would that be okay? What about those girls? Doesn't it matter that parts of their freedom and their life have been taken away? And I don't know the answer here. I'm trying to struggle with it. I'm trying to understand it. And what it came down to was why, and I've seen a lot of these legislatures and courts. Lower court will say, yes, that's right. A biological male cannot compete against biological females. Just can't do it. It's just not right because the biological males have an advantage that you wouldn't allow in anything else. You wouldn't let a high school senior play football against a bunch of eighth grade kids. Why? Because they're just physically bigger and stronger than them. Well, this is the reality of this. Now, I want to be understanding about this young person who believes he's a different gender. And feels that and wants to live that way. What do I care? You know, I live the way I want to live. He could live the way he lives. But when it affects other people negatively, like in these sporting events, why is that okay? Why doesn't the girl's situation matter at all? Right? And I'll tell you, here's what I've tried to understand. And this is where I'm thinking it's coming from. Many of the things that our friends on the left come up with are confounding to logic and to reason. And they feel one way and they have to ignore logic and reason. And then they expect everyone else to ignore logic and reason also so that they can continue with what they believe in. So if we have two things going on here. Number one, if we say that that young man who believes he's a woman is actually a woman, then we have to go all in. We believe he's actually a woman. No matter what his body parts are, then he's a woman. And we all have to agree because that's what our society is going to decide to do. But if we, and the other transverse is that if we turn around and say, well, listen, he can believe that he's a woman. And we can all say, congratulations. That's how you want to live. That's how you feel. Good for you. But the reality is biologically you're a male and you can't run against these girls and compete because that's just not right. Well, we can't do that because if we acknowledge that he's biologically a male and could beat the girls, the biological girls, then we undo the more important point, which is accepting him for who he thinks he is. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is where I'm thinking it's coming from because, like I said, I can understand that these young people or any age person who is uncomfortable in their body and thinks that they are something different. I understand how painful that must be for them. And I don't want anybody to be in pain. You know, and that's why I say I don't care what you want to be I'll call you whatever you want me to call you. Tell me what you want me to call you, okay? Man, woman, it doesn't matter. You know, if that makes you happy, I think that that's good. You know, I'll just know you as that. But when we confound logic and other people get hurt because of that, this is where our society has to figure out how do we accommodate both sides? How do we do this, right? And I've heard a lot of people say, well, why don't we have transgender sporting events then so that the transgender people can compete against each other, right? And no matter whichever side they want to be on, they want to be on the male side or the female side, doesn't matter. They can compete against each other, and the biological kids compete against themselves biologically. Biological girls, biological boys. Wouldn't that be a way to accommodate everyone, right? Then everyone gets to enjoy their sport and be the best that they can be and try and rise to the top and accomplish. That would seem to make perfect sense. But that is shut down instantaneously, because to do that is to then separate the transgender people from the other people, and we have to totally accept it, that that's what it is. It's biologically he's a male, but he says he's a girl, and therefore we have to all be in 100% on that, and anything that takes away from that can be a problem. That's why I think it's going, and that's where people are trying to understand. But when we take the other side out of it, and what about this, what about the girls, right? That's all I'm asking the question is, what about the girls? I got nothing against the transgender girls, you know? They're trying to find themselves. They're trying to struggle through what is, I'm sure, very painful. But what about the girls who are suffering now, the biological girls who are now suffering, right? Why don't we even consider that? Why can't we even have that conversation? Right, it's not a matter of tolerance anymore. It's a matter of you will obey. And there's so many things in our society now that are you will obey, and you can't have an argument. How is it that we have the mayor of Chicago come out and say she is not going to interview with white reporters anymore? How is that's allowed to be said? How can you pick the race of someone and to determine that you're not going to speak to them? You're a government official, and I'm not going to speak to any reporters or take interviews with people who are white. This is horrific. Could you imagine in reverse if somebody came out and said, you know what, I'm not going to allow anyone but a white reporter to interview me? That person would be removed from everything immediately, and rightly so. You know, we can't cut people apart like that based by color, race, and that kind of thing. That's just completely wrong. But why is it that this mayor says that out loud in public, not afraid to say it, and there's no pushback, there's no media stories, they're not running reporters all to Chicago and say, how can you say that? Why not? And this is where this is unsustainable. That's just the reality. Our society is unsustainable because we are just careening down a road and there's nobody driving now. Everything goes... but it's all, everything goes from one side. That's the problem. And like I said, I try and understand all people. I've had my own struggles. Everybody has their own struggles. I'm open to people having struggles, and I'm opening to working with people, helping them, making them feel comfortable, making them feel welcome. But we have to do that for everybody, don't we? How do we pick and choose sides and say, well, one side's good and one side's bad, and that's it, and it doesn't matter? What about all the people who are traditionalists? And they want to be traditionalists, and now they're considered bad. And everybody jumps on board. And by traditionalists, I don't mean that they want slavery or racism or anything like that. They're traditional American-loving people. If you don't think America is bad now, if you don't go along with this teaching they want to do in the schools that America is bad and that people have to apologize for their... If you don't go along with that, you are evil. You are bad. And that's the way it's being portrayed. And how can that possibly be? How did we get here when, and rightly so, there was a need for tolerance of people of different lifestyles and different ways of living their lives? Absolutely, there was a need for it. You know, back in the days when people were attacked because of their orientation, that was horrible. That was a terrible thing to do, and we needed to create a better world around that. So how did we go from understanding and tolerance to now no tolerance for the other side, and if you believe anything different, you are bad? How did that happen? And the bigger question is, where does that lead to? Does that lead to a better future? Does that lead to a better way of life for everyone? Or is that going to continue to have these two sides grind against each other, like, two continents grinding? And what happens when they grind long enough? Boom, there's an earthquake and there's damage and things happen. And that is what I see coming, because we're no longer being tolerant, right? There's only one side of an argument now. And if you're not on that right side, you're wrong. And therefore, you'll be canceled. You'll be shut down. You can't even ask questions. You know, my wife Kathleen's been on the show a couple times talking about what she's finding out about the vaccines and this and that for the COVID. And the most stark conversation I had with a young person the other day was saying, well, listen, I think the vaccines are probably perfectly fine. And, you know, these doctors that come on and say that you should be worried about them, they probably just don't like Joe Biden and they don't want to do it. And that's why they're saying it. And I'm saying, well, first of all, there are a lot of qualified, excellent, professional doctors and scientists out there that are saying, hey, there's some concern here about these viruses. I mean, about these vaccines, right? There's some concerns we should take into account. But you're not allowed to hear that. That is completely shut down. You're removed from social media. You're removed from the airways. You are canceled. What? And my question to this young person was, wouldn't it be better if you had all the information and you could make up your mind? And this young person said to me, well, I've heard all the information and I think they're safe. I don't really want one, but I think they're perfectly safe because everything I've heard said they're safe. I said, but don't you understand? You're only hearing one side of the argument. That's the only side that is permitted, the approved side. We can't live like that. This is unsustainable, that you only are allowed to have one opinion, one thought process, one way of doing things, or you're done and you're out. Because that is what, and I hate to say the word tyranny, but that is how tyranny begins. That is how tyranny begins, because right now, the only thing you could say is that the vaccine is good and you should take it. And what happens later on when they tell you something else? You have to leave your home, and that's the best thing for you. So pack your family and go down to the bus station and get on that bus, because we're telling you that's where you should move to. We think it's better if you move to this location. And that's just an example. I'm trying to come up with one here. But the reality is, if we allow these things to go, if we allow this blackout of information, only one side being permitted to speak, that is tyranny. And then my last question to this young person was, you think the vaccines are safe because everything you've heard says they're safe. And I'm asking you, wouldn't you want to make your own decision? And you say, yeah, well, the other people that are coming up with information are just coming up with crazy stuff. And I say, how do you know that? Because the one-sided people that are telling you it's okay are telling you that the other people are wrong. And so they're so wrong, we cannot even have them speak. I said, don't you not see the danger of that? Who made that determination? You're allowing this group to make your determination without hearing the other group because you're believing that the other group is bad. Because the people who are telling you it's good have decided that. You have not decided that for yourself. Someone has decided that for you. They're the only voice talking. You have nothing to compare it to. And you're just agreeing with it. Do you not see the danger in that? Do you not see how bad that could possibly be for you as a person going forward? And it was scary to me that this young person was not alone in their belief. This young person is, I hear the same thing from adults, old people, young people, everywhere. You know, if it's on the news, it must be true. If it's on CNN or MSNBC, it's got to be true. And we all know that all those stations, all those media outlets lied to us about so many things over the years. It's a little disconcerting. It is. So that's kind of where I wanted to go. I wanted to ask a question of, you know, who is going to stand up for the other people? Who's going to stand up and say, tolerance has to go all the way around? You might not like my opinion, but to say my opinion is evil and should be silenced, that's a problem. That is not a place of liberty. That's not a place of freedom. That is not America. And you know, when I say that, I see now that that's probably the point. See, I'm going on the premise that everybody wants to be America and we want to, you know, do the right thing. And the reality is the side that's trying to shut down everything that is not woke, so to speak, they don't want America. They don't want traditional America. They want to do away with our history. They want to do away with everything about America, and they really want to fundamentally change it to something different. And I don't know that that's good for all of us. All right, so this is Lieutenant Joe. I'm going to take a little break. I'll be back in a minute here on Chasing Justice.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health four times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
All right, welcome back to Chasing Justice. Now, that was a pretty heavy beginning of the show, right? A lot there to think about, and I don't want it to be so heavy. I'm trying to, I'm looking at the news, I'm looking at things that are going on, and it's crazy. You know, I'm trying to stay healthy. That's what I'm trying to say here, all right? I'm trying to stay healthy. We just went through this whole thing with the COVID, and with the, so Kathleen and I, my lovely bride, her and I are trying to figure, how do we make ourselves healthy? What can we possibly do? So now we're walking every day, right? We're eating better, right? We're trying to take care of ourselves. So Kathleen's coming up with all of these different vitamins that you got to take because it'll help your immune system. It'll help you, you know, it'll boost up your immune system so you can fight off any disease that comes, including the COVID, you know, or whatever it is. And I got to tell you, I've been introduced to a product called Healthy Cell. These are vitamins. You probably heard them on the station here. And I've been hearing them. Okay, this stuff sounds pretty good. You know, it sounds like it might be helpful. I don't know. So I got my hands on some of it. The Immune Super Boost. Immune Super Boost. Now, when I first looked at it, I wasn't really sure. Okay, what do I do with it? You know, I don't like taking a million pills. That's what I've been doing, taking a million pills. We got them all lined out. Well, this Healthy Cell Immune Super Boost is really awesome. It comes in a little packet. You open the packet and you got a couple things. There's like, I don't want to say it's a gel, but there's stuff in there. It's liquidy, right? And you can mix it with a drink. You can mix it with water, or you can do what I do. First of all, the taste is blackberry. I love it. So I just squeeze it right out of the tube and swallow it down. And I'm saying to myself, is this actually going to help me? You know, I mean, everybody says, you know, this vitamin's good. I got to tell you, I've been taking this now for about 2 weeks, and I actually do feel better. I feel stronger. I feel healthy. You know, normally going through this with the stuff coming out of the trees, the pollen and everything, driving me crazy. After 2 weeks of taking this, I actually do feel better. So I'm going to tell you, if you hear it on the station, you should give it a try. Only because, you know, I wouldn't tell you something that I didn't really think. And I've been happy with it. So it's nice. I take a supplement every day. I squeeze the stuff out. And I, like I said, I like it directly right out of the little tube. I think it tastes really good. But Healthy Cell. They also have one to help you sleep better at night. So I'm going to be trying that one pretty soon, and I'll get back to you and let you know what I think of that. But I like the vitamin one. It's pretty good. All right, so let's look at the world here. The Texas governor, Governor Abbott, seems like a pretty good guy, right? And Texas is one of those states where there's a possibility it could go over to the other side, to the left, because there's so many people now living there in Texas, and you got all these people moving from California and all these other states, these northern liberal states, and they're showing up in Texas, which is funny because they're leaving the liberal places that are overrun, full of crime, huge taxes. You really can't enjoy yourself there in a lot of those states. And they're going to a place like Texas, which is open and free and great, and Florida too. And then they go there, and then they act just, they vote exactly like they did when they were home. And they vote in all these left-wing nuts who want to, you know, tax them to death and regulate them to death. So I find it funny. So Governor Abbott, he's trying to come up with a voting bill. Right? He wants a voting bill. And the, apparently the Texas legislature got together. They had a quorum, which means they had enough people there that were legislators that they could vote on things. And they were going to vote on a bill for their election cycle to make it better. They wanted their election system to be better, make sure that it was secure. You know, everything with 2020, there's millions of people running around thinking that the election was stolen on either side, that Trump tried to steal it, but people on the Trump side think Biden stole it, and that there was all these faked up things. There's all this evidence. Nobody will investigate. So all of these, I guess these red states are trying to tighten up their election laws, not so they can keep people who can't make people can't vote. We don't want people to vote. We only want certain people to vote. That's ridiculous. If you're an American citizen, you show up at the polling place and you vote. Doesn't matter who you are. Nobody's standing out front with guns and clubs telling you, hey, wait a minute. You're a Democrat. You can't come in here and vote. Nobody does that. Now, on the other hand, we did see people doing that in Philadelphia a few years ago, right? Wasn't there a guy out front with weapons and he was intimidating people that were coming in? He wanted you to vote to the left. Oh, yeah, we ignore that. Let's just ignore that, right? Because that doesn't help the argument. So this governor wants to have this vote. And apparently the Democrat legislature people, they got up and left before the vote so that the quorum dissipated. There was no quorum, which means you can't officially do a rule. So the governor turns around and says, okay, when the budget comes up, here's what I'm going to do. There's a section in the budget that provides money to the legislature. I'm going to veto that part of it. I'm not going to give them any money. Now, this is a power play on part of the governor who's the leader of the state, and he's trying to get the legislature to do their job. You know, because here's the rub. If they're there and they vote against the new voting law, then it looks like they're in favor of the potential for cheating. So they don't want to vote for it because they don't want regulation when it comes to the voting. What? Now, that's probably the crux of this. Let's get to this. Why can't we have a secure election where each individual person in our day and age with technology, you could do fingerprint technology. Oh, no, we can't let the government have our fingerprints. Believe me, government's got everything they want about you. We can do an iris scan. No, we don't want to look into knowing in my eye. Okay. So we get you an ID, a government-issued ID that says we know who you are, we know where you live, and you have a right to go vote. Now, there's this fallacy that people who want to make sure that there's an ID is because some of our minority community members, they can't get an ID. They don't know how to get an ID. What would Joe Biden say? They don't know how to use the internet. What the hell kind of a thing is that to say? This is modern America. Every single person can get an ID. You need an ID for everything. Try and get on an airplane and not have a valid ID. Right? So what does that mean? That people that can't get an ID to vote, they're not allowed on airplanes? How come we're not upset about that? How come we're upset that members of our country are not allowed to get on an airplane because they don't have a valid ID? Right. That's the argument that they make because they don't want there to be valid ID. I mean, it's the only thing I can come to. I'm trying to do an investigation here. Why would you not want to have a good, solid, verifiable ID that you walk in, you have your ID, and you put it on a card reader, right? And we can make sure that it's secure, that it can't be faked. And it says the person standing there is the person who's registered to vote. And it immediately clinks you to your system. And there you go. You do your vote. Well, what is the only reason that you could come up with that that's true? The only reason is because people want the ability for there to be fraud so they can fake it. Now, I'm not saying one side or the other, but the reality is we need to have a secure system. How do we have, they say there's 30 or 40 million people running around our country today who believe that the 2020 election was fraudulent, that Joe Biden didn't really win, that it was stolen. Now, I couldn't tell you. All I know is when people ask to see the votes, let's go over it, and you're told, no, you can't see the vote. Why would you not show people the votes? Why would you not let them see that it was legitimate? Why wouldn't you go out of your way to prove how big of a win Joe Biden actually had? Wouldn't that solve the problem? No, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. We know he won, and you don't have any right to ask. This is what makes people suspicious, right? So there's a couple of states right now. I think it's Arizona. I'm not sure. They're doing a big recount. And you keep hearing these tweets on social media from some of the politicians there. Oh, big things coming next week when it comes to the vote recount. And then you know it's going to be nothing. But the reality is they're doing the recount. Well, there was a judge who ordered a recount. I think there was 9 individuals got together. And they said they would pay for an audit of the election. Now, obviously, they're probably backed by somebody, right? They're backed by somebody who's supplying the money so that they can pay for it. But that takes away an argument that, well, it's too costly for the state to do the audit. Okay, well, we're going to pay for the audit. And do they have standing? Well, all of these people are citizens of that state. They may or may not have done a mail-in ballot or whatever kind of ballot, but they feel their election was not appropriate, and therefore they do have standing. So the first judge ordered the audit. Great, let's do the audit. Let's look at all of these ballots and find out if it was real or not. Let's find out if there was any fraud and let's settle this once and for all. Right? When you got 30 or 40 million people believing something, that's not good. That leads to problems. So let's just do the audit. Let's open up all the things and let's take a look and see. They're not going to, even if it turns out that there was fraud, they're not going to turn around and go, okay, Joe Biden, you have to get out of the White House now. Donald Trump, step back in. They're not going to do that. They're not going to overturn the election. But we need to know that our election was appropriate, that it was done properly, that it was fair, just for those 25, 30 million people, right, that believe it wasn't. And that's causing some of the problem. So I thought the governor in Texas was pretty good telling them, I am going to withhold the money for the legislature, which means their pay. They don't get their pay. And of course, what did they respond back with? How can you punish all the clerical workers and everybody? No, you're doing that by not showing up at work. Your job is to go there and vote. Just because you don't want to be held to account by your vote, that's not our concern. You want to worry about all those workers, and you should. They work for your offices. Go to the polling place there and cast your vote, Mr. Legislator, Mrs. Legislator. Do your job. But they don't want to. All right. Let's see. We've seen a lot of things going on with, how do you say arguments between people. This violence thing is going up. We saw another big shooting the other day, right, at the rail station. This guy goes in and he killed 9 people and then killed himself. This is part of the PTSD, I think, the country is going through. Now, we have these people all the time anyway, right? Isn't that part of our society? And immediately they start screaming and hollering, see, there's the guns. Well, it happened in California. California has very, very strict gun laws. It has very, very ammunition laws, strong ammunition laws. It's got how many guns you can buy, how many you can't buy, who can buy, and you still had this happen. This violence that we're seeing is a people problem, not a gun problem, which is actually, I saw a meme the other day. It was a little boy, a little schoolboy, and he's laughing, he's giggling in the picture, and it says, my teacher says guns kill people, and I told her my pencil failed my math test. Now, that sounds silly. It's apples and oranges, but, you know, there's lots of guns out there, and it's the people that use them improperly that cause the problem. How can we find out about the people? Look, we talked about Chicago before. Every weekend, there are lots and lots of people shot and killed in Chicago. Now, we know where lots of the crime is coming from. They can pinpoint it, right? We keep track on statistics and data. We know where the crime is coming from. Why is there not a task force whipping in there and removing the guns from the criminals that are using them to shoot each other up and rob people? Why are we not doing that? Well, because it could maybe not look good for somebody's political point of view. Right, so instead, we just let citizens of our country get killed every weekend en masse in Chicago, and we do nothing about it. There's no protests. There's no rallies. We're not going out there. You know, little kids get shot in drive-by shootings, and there's no protest for that. Nobody cares about anything like that. Doesn't that seem strange to you? Doesn't that seem really bizarre? Why don't we do that? And this goes back to my thing. Why is nobody standing up? How come we're not standing up about any of this stuff, okay? There was a young lady going to graduate, and it's big graduation season, right? She's going to graduate, and she's going to give, I guess, the valedictorian speech at her high school. And in there, she said she wanted to say that, you know, Jesus Christ was her Lord and Savior, and she's trying to do the right thing by him. And they said, you can't say that. You can't say that. See, it's this incremental chipping away at free speech. Now, the whole idea about not talking about religion in a school is so that the government doesn't choose a religion. Not that the people are there cannot express themselves and their religion. So the argument then goes further. Okay, the school's not expressly saying we are Christian. We're not expressly saying that's the right religion. But by allowing this girl to speak about religion, that gives it the imprimatur that we are approving that that's the right religion. And I say, that's nonsense. That's absolutely BS. If a student gets up there to give a speech and they're talking about their life and they invoke their religion, well, that's their point of view. That's the person we've chosen as the valedictorian. If a young person got up there and they were a Muslim and they wanted to talk about their religion and how it helps them to deal with life and how it's helped guide them, that would be fine. They're the valedictorian. That's their speech. Right? Or a young kid, a Jewish kid, wants to get up and talk about how his or her religion may help them get through life. I think that would be perfectly fine. Just as much as an atheist could get up there, if that's the valedictorian, and say that, you know, God had nothing to do with their life, that they've done it all themselves. Well, you might not like the speech, but the reality is it's their speech, and they're the person there. So I don't see taking these kids and controlling their speech is any way to go, because that's the first step in controlling everybody's speech, right? I don't know how many times I can go round and round with this, everybody. So what else is going on out there? The aliens. The aliens. Are you thinking about the aliens? Are we going to get to hear about aliens? Are we going to see the real aliens? Now, I've told you, and I've told you this a long time ago, I actually think I saw a UFO. Well, actually, I did see a UFO. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was little green men coming here or if it was a military vehicle. I don't know what it was. But we're hearing now and now, either the end of June or early July, we're going to get this government report on what all these aliens, or what are they calling them? Unidentified aerial phenomenon. That's what they're calling them now. Still UFOs. We're seeing more and more footage from the military that they're releasing it as unclassified to show us these vehicles and how they're flying around and how they're maneuvering in ways that our aircraft cannot do. Their speed, their maneuverability. They don't have any wings. How is all this? There's even one that goes underwater, right? We don't have any vehicles like that. And you're seeing these military people come out and speak up now about, hey, there's definitely something going on. We don't know what it is. So look at it this way. If there are these vehicles that can outrun us, that are faster than us, that have technology we don't have, if it's the Russians or the Chinese, don't you think we should know about that? Right? If it's another government has this kind of technology that they could outdo us in a sky battle? Shouldn't we know about that? That they can penetrate our sensitive areas without getting caught, right? I think this is very important. So there's your couple of choices. They're gonna give us this information now, and a lot of people are all giddily, and they're sitting in the back saying, "Oh, this is great. We're finally gonna learn the truth. They're gonna tell us." Here's what my prediction is gonna be. They're gonna do this report, and they're gonna say that all the things that we've seen, you know, we've seen the one that goes underwater, we've seen the one that flies next to the airplane, the one that takes, we've seen all these videos. And they're going to say, we just don't know what it is. We cannot classify it. We cannot say that it's from other world or if it's from on planet. Well, okay. So if we had Russian bombers flying towards Washington, D.C. every single day, what would we do about that? Well, we would scramble jets all the time, wouldn't we? We would go and confront them. We'd fly right up to them. Well, if we know these things are flying around, and I was told off of Virginia, there was some Navy personnel who talk about how they were buzzed for days by these UFOs. They have some pictures. They got some videos. Well, if you're being buzzed for days, wouldn't you have planes up 24 hours a day to get close to them? Wouldn't you have a high-resolution camera? We have cameras that take a picture from the moon and can take a picture of a license plate in Cleveland. And we can read the license plate. Don't you think we should get a picture of one of these things, like a really good picture, and we could try and figure it out if it's human made or if it is from another worldly place? I don't know. But the reality is the report's going to come out and we're going to hear. My prediction is it's not going to be earth shattering. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they have some really cool things. I think we're ready as a race to hear, as a species to hear that there's otherworldly beings out there. You know, that wouldn't change my view of the universe, I don't think, really at all. I know the argument's been made that people are laughing, saying, oh, well, the who is it supposed to know, too? The Vatican. The Vatican knows the truth, and they don't want it to come out, because if it comes out, it'll prove that religion is a lie. How does it prove that? Whether you're a human created by God or you're an alien created by God, you were still created by God, okay? So I don't think that doesn't change anything, just that maybe there'd be something else out there. But I'd be wondering, you know, what is it that they want from us? Are they just studying us? Are they looking at us? Are they stealing from us? So we're almost done with our episode today, and I really had a nice time talking about this stuff. But I want to tell you, I wrote a story. I write fiction as well as writing my books on police work. And I started writing this story called Daniel's Fire. And the whole idea of Daniel's Fire is that it's a fictional tale that starts back, I guess, before Roswell. And it's about a photographer who goes out into the desert and he takes sky pictures back in the 1940s. And he sells them to astronomy magazines, you know. And he's out there and he's, you know, in a pretty desolate area where he's at. And he's out there with his dog and his little campfire waiting for the right, since I guess these stars, they'll be in the right position or whatever. And he hears an airplane and he hears two or three of them. And here they come and they're chasing something. They're chasing a UFO and they're the military planes of the time. And they shoot this thing down and it crashes. And he goes and he sees one of the creatures and then he sees the military come and he realizes, uh-oh, I probably shouldn't have seen what I saw. I better get out of Dodge. And he takes off, but he has all the pictures, right? He took all the pictures. Well, he gets back to his vehicle. He manages to get away. Before the army catches up with him, he knows if he gets caught with that film, he's probably going to have a problem. So he puts it in the mail at a diner, right, on the road, and he mails it to his brother. Well, long and short of it is those films get mailed to his brother, and they never get printed. Nobody ever prints them, and the army does catch the guy, and he does disappear, and we never hear from him again. But his photos are sitting in a photo bag in his brother's attic for all these years. And it turns out that all of these missing people that we all talk about, these missing kids, missing people, that's where they all been going. And they made a deal with the government that they're allowed to take X amount of people a year for experiments. And they wouldn't attack us if we let them do that. So that's the story, Daniel's Fire. So if you're a UFO fan, you want to be looking for that coming to you. It's a pretty exciting story. And of course, you know, we flash forward to the future when somebody is cleaning out the house and finds the photos and they print the film, right? Ooh, we see aliens and we see all that kind of stuff. So this is a little lighthearted as we try to come to the end of our show here today, because I didn't want it to be so heavy. We have summer coming. We have mask mandates disappearing. Let's hope that the COVID numbers stay low so that we can continue on. Let's hope that they continue to do vaccine work and try and figure out if they can make a safer vaccine. Because I don't know. Everything that I've heard about it says it could be perfectly fine or it could damage you for the rest of your life. And I don't want to be damaged the rest of my life. And I really don't want my kids to be damaged for the rest of their life or my grandchildren or anybody else. So we don't have enough information, I don't think, to make an honest decision. The reality being, I hope there's other companies out there that are still doing work, still doing tests, trying to find a true vaccine, not this experimental thing that they've put together that like could be perfectly fine in the long run, saves millions of lives and beats the COVID-19. But we don't know for sure. Now, my last little bit of information I have here, and I want you to think about this and look for it in the stories. Didn't President Trump say that he believed that the COVID-19 virus started in a Chinese laboratory in Wuhan? Was he attacked when he said that? Was he torn apart when he said that? He was a racist. He was making things up, all because he was trying to protect himself because of his horrible administration, and he's trying to attack the Chinese. Well, have you heard stories recently in the news? They're not laughing about that anymore, are they? Even Dr. Fauci is now saying that, well, I never said it wasn't made in a Chinese laboratory. It came from bat, right? So we're finding out. I heard two doctors. One of them worked on the, I think he worked on SARS and he worked on the HIV virus. And he was very instrumental in the HIV research. And what he said, him and his partner are going to publish this paper that basically says they see the proof in the virus that it was made in a laboratory. And I don't have this perfect, but you want to listen to the story when it comes up, that there's three molecules that are giving off a positive charge and they're lined up. And in nature, that can never, ever happen. The only way that can happen is if it was created in a lab to work that way. And they said that is the smoking gun proof that this was manufactured in a laboratory. And then how it got out? Well, viruses get out all the time. There's lots of accidents in labs. It's not like on TV when they're perfect. But you look for that story to see, because suddenly Trump, they're not saying Trump wasn't crazy. They're just all of a sudden changing the tenor and the tone that maybe it came from a lab in China by accident. I don't know, my friends. But we had a lot to talk about today, a lot to chew on. Listen, give the healthy cell a try. Like I said, I feel much better taking it. So I'm going to keep taking it. And I'm going to try the one for sleep. It's supposed to really help you with your REM sleep. And I'm satisfied that it's doing the right thing for me. So maybe it'll do the right thing for you too. This is Lieutenant Joe saying, hey, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. We'll see you on the next go-round here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.